going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Were you disappointed that after 90 minutes of a rain delay, then over a 3-hour and 15-minute hours of 11-inning baseball, that the Cubs suffered a 3-2 loss to Arizona, denying them a sweep? How about the Cubs entering the game as the best offense in baseball and then just managing only 4 hits and 11 innings of work?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to call it disappointing. You know, I keep harping on this idea. They're winning series, right? It's been fantastic to watch. They won another series. You just get so greedy as the series goes on, and you think they had this unbelievable comeback, and then they handled the second game, and then it's there for the taking. It was there for the taking. It didn't matter how many hits they managed or how little production they were getting. You had a couple of situations where you could have won that game, where you were just one moment away from getting a win. So it ends up, I mean, I don't know how we can't feel good about what's going on with the Cubs, given the difficulty of their schedule and how good they have been this month. So I'm trying not to get disappointed that they didn't win a game like that, because they won the series, and that's a difficult thing to do. But, yeah, of course you do. Of course, when you don't kind of finish the job and you're in a position to, you do feel a level of disappointment. I would be lying if I said I didn't.
Yeah, disappointed is a good word for it, but then your other good word you used there was you get greedy as a fan. Yep. and you want to take the broom out, and that's a good team. I mean, they're going to be around, and they threw their top 3 guys at you, the Cubs, and you responded the way you did. I mean, and so disappointed, sure, but again, you have to take a step back, and in a day like today is a good day to do that with the off day. And the fact that they are 14-10 right now is pretty amazing, right? I think everybody was in agreement if they get through April, and it's still a ways to go, and it's a couple of tough teams to finish out the month. It's not over yet, but nice little cushion they've built for themselves here.
It's just the way it ended. It's the mistakes that were made in extra innings that made you feel like, boy, that was one they could have won. And you're in extra innings and you got a fielding error by Nico Horner, usually sure-handed Nico Horner, and you've got John Birdie on the bases do that. You're like, well, that was a game that the Cubs committed uncharacteristic mistakes and lost. So you feel like you could have won. And you feel like you're there. Why not finish the job? You're in extra innings in the finale of a long day at Wrigley Field. Go ahead and win it. And when you don't, it's okay to be disappointed. Yeah, they're in a good place. Yes, Monday will be hit reset and relax. And the Dodgers are coming to town. That won't be easy. Shota's pitching tomorrow night, right? Shota's pitching against the Dodgers. You got a 2-game set against the Dodgers, the continuation of the Tokyo series. This is the last two games. The first two did not go so well at Wrigley Field in Japan, whatever, Japan East or Wrigley East, far, far east. But I think that now you can look at what they've accomplished and feel good about it. But, yeah, I feel like those are that was a game that got away. They could have won that game. Tyone was terrific. And the bullpen is my biggest concern, even though the third base is unsettled because of the Matt Shaw decision last week and all the now different cast of characters they're going to have there. Four guys are going to share the position. We'll get into that. But I just felt a little bit, disappointed after yesterday.
Wow, that's a good question.
Voice of John Heyman will be here this morning at 9 a.m. Cubs pitcher Brent Baum called his team's everyday lineup, quote, the best in baseball, end quote. So how much of that was an exaggeration? How close are they to being that if you don't believe it? And what's the biggest reason why there's even a debate?
By the way, hearing John Heyman's voice put the pressure on me. I hear Biggs, you really impressed John Heyman last week. So now I'm going to really, I don't know. It's a tough act to follow. So can't wait till 9 o'clock for that. I think Ben Brown, I love hearing him say that. You want your pitchers to be the hype men for your hitters. And when he says that they got the best lineup in the National League, I love the fact that he believes that. I think the Padres would beg to differ. Certainly the Dodgers would. Those are two lineups that would give the Cubs a run for their money. The Cubs right now, because Carson Kelly is the hottest hitting catcher in the majors, can stake that claim. But they have four third basemen, and I don't think that when you have four third basemen, you have the best lineup in the National League. You have potentially a lineup that can stack up to any other. It's an arguable point to make. I love the fact that he can defend it. I love the fact that he's creating the debate about it. When you have Kyle Tucker and you have Suzuki and you have those guys off to the starts they're off to, yeah. I'd like to see Dansby Swanson start to hit again. What happened to that torpedo bat? Did he lose that? Because it seems like it's too heavy now, or something's a problem. So for those guys to get going is what I need to see for me to agree with Ben Brown. Although I love his confidence in his teammates, I love the fact that he's not afraid to put that out there, and I love the way he's been pitching lately.
Well, the reason we're able to have this conversation is because the bottom of the Cubs' order has been delivering. Something that, on paper, when we first started talking about the prospects of the Cubs season, at least I'll put my, I was very worried about it. I did not know that the Cubs would get this kind of production from the catching position. It's been unbelievable. Carson Kelly has been a fantastic addition, and Amaya has been good as well. So this has been a great duo, if you will. PCA has come around. There were calls for him to be benched, maybe even sent back down to the minors. He's come around quite a bit. Nico has had a nice start. He's hitting over 300. I mean, the issue is, and the question is going to stand, is do you leave Swanson batting fifth or sixth?
No.
Like, do you have to drop him down and move everybody up a spot?
Asked and answered, counselor. Okay. That's a very good point.
So, but again, I think the reason we're able to have this conversation is because the lower third of the order has delivered in a fashion that we have not seen around here in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I also saw going into the game last night, they now have three players that are listed among the top 10 in WAR in MLB baseball, and one is that catcher you're talking about. My God,
Carson Kelly,
has he been good? He's been absolutely fantastic, and obviously we know how good Kyle Tucker is, and PCA kind of went through a little lull, but has come back really strong.
West.
He went west,
rediscovered it.
He hit PCLA.
West.
No question about that. Back in his home state, he really went to work, and it's fun to see three guys among the top 10. That's pretty impressive stuff. So you got some people doing extra work, but I'm with you, David. I think that, you know, you would like to figure out a way to get your shortstop hitting a little bit and figure out who your third baseman is. I don't think they have bad options, but as you say, when you get four different guys kind of filling in at a position, it makes you wonder what? Why didn't you just get Bregman? I guess, right?
When, oh, wasn't that guy available? Boom, got me.
Not wow, intentional. Ouch. Not intentional.
Ouch.
What was the other part of that question?
Will Friday's incredible comeback victory go down as the best game of the season, or one of the best games in team history, or one of the best in MLB history? In the seventh and eighth innings alone, the two teams combined for 6 home runs, 2 grand slams, all 4 types of hits, all 4 types of home runs, and 3.5 innings of 5-plus runs. According to APA stats, that has never happened in the history of an MLB game, let alone in 2 innings.
That was unbelievable. I mean, that was one of the – first of all, that was really deflating that they gave up all those runs. But then the way they came right back was sensational. It was that was one of those games that made you feel like there's some magic going on here. You know, you didn't enjoy seeing the things fall apart, but it was fairly sensational that they came back and that none of that mattered. And even Craig Counsell, as you know, monodrone as he can be, and he was like, well, then they came up in the third inning.
Monodrone?
Well, he does kind of...
Kind of monodrones on?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and,
he doesn't seem very excitable.
No. But
not even that.
But he was kind of like.
Did he even smile?
He didn't.
Did he crack one?
He didn't even. He just kind of reacted. It's so strange. Can you be too even keeled? I mean, because that was one of those games where you were just kind of.
I'm going to have to decide about how I feel about that before I answer.
It was just one of those
I'm
games.
I'm not reacting to anything.
You don't see games like that. It was like that game. What was the game, the 22-21 game or whatever, that lasted forever? I just thought it was it's kind of one of those games that you write down and you save, and then when you look back on the season, you contemplate that as turning point. It had that feeling to it.
Absolutely incredible game. I mean, keep in mind, that game was 2-1 heading into the bottom of the seventh inning. And they were talking the day before about how crazy it could get there. The weather, the wind was blowing out to left center, and all of a sudden it's 2-1, and it's the top, and it's going into the bottom of the seventh inning. And then the Cubs explode, and this goes back to what we've talked about before. So now they all of a sudden have a 7-1 lead, and you think that's kind of the magic number for the Cubs. Somehow that bullpen blows that lead. My wife and I were in the car. She turned off the radio, changed from the score to FM music. I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, I can't. I can't take it anymore. I drop her off at the door of where we went. She got out of the car. I couldn't park where I wanted to park. I had to go around the block a little bit. I turned it right back to the score, and Pat calls the home run as they're making the comeback.
Great timing.
It was, and then I walk in. And I'm like, are you looking at the TV? I'm like, did you see what's happening here? It was unreal. A game I will never forget.
What FM music did you turn on?
I don't remember. I'm sure it was a Odyssey station.
I'm just curious.
I'm guessing it was. I'm guessing it was
Odyssey station.
I'm guessing it was
Company Guy.
US 99.
Checks in the mail. The bonus is in the mail there. Company man. Look, this was historic, and you sensed it as it was happening. And just like you, Dustin, I was listening to Pat and Ron and Zach, and in real time, Zach texts me this from the booth. We are watching a classic. It will be replayed for years to come. And that was in the midst of that big inning, the one they made a T-shirt out of already.
Yeah.
That's
the
awesome.
The eighth inning T-shirt.
All kinds of records being set. The largest run production in an inning at Wrigley Field ever. In its existence, and you feel better about talking about it in Chicago this morning after the Monday after, because the Cubs won. Had the Cubs lost that game, we'd be assessing the lasting damage psychologically to a team that you wonder if they can get over the top.
Right. This bullpen, you know, the bullpen broke.
What are you going to do about the bullpen?
What are you going to do about the bullpen?
You can't.
Jordan Wicks obviously can't be a bullpen guy. He can only be a starter.
8 pitches, 5 runs? Was that what his line was on Friday? Goodness sakes, that's bad. I was surprised. I was glad he got out of that yesterday. But all's well that ends well. And now you're right, Mully. Instead of asking those, you know, difficult questions that nobody wants to ask in the course of a season, you're looking at this team and you're wondering if you're going to point back to that moment. It's like, wow, that's a sign of that resilient team. And even Craig Counsell smiled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Oh, you know, that's it's a scary good question, right?
Voice of Bruce Levine is with you guys at 8:25 this morning. The White Sox place veteran Martin Perez on the IL with an inflamed elbow. How bad of a blow is this, and do you think either injury to Sox starters or ineffectiveness will have any impact on the timetable of the youngest and best pitchers in their system, Double A, Hagen Smith, Noah Schultz, or Grant Taylor?
I think that when you read about Martin Perez saying his goodbyes in Boston as he heads back to Chicago for either imaging or the next step in this injury, given his age and given his... it just got a lot of miles on those tires. And you worry and you wonder. And he has been the guy that you counted on and has provided some stability in that rotation. And I don't know what's next for him. It doesn't bode well if a veteran who understands arm injuries and how it works. I want to know more about how final were those goodbyes he was saying. Was it like, I'll see you later, I'll see you at the next road trip? Or was it, I'll see you when surgery is over and I'm recuperating? I don't know, because I don't think we know yet. And if there's a detail that I'm missing, let me know, because Martin Perez, I know it's the White Sox and you're expecting them to lose more than they win, and all those things remain true, but he was somebody that you could count on to give you a professional start once every 5 days.
Great point. You did expect that professional start. He was the guy that I thought that was most valuable, because if he did stay healthy and did continue to be an innings eater, he might be something that you could move to get something back in return. Now you wonder, has he already thrown his last pitch as a White Sox?
Yeah, you know, the first thought I had was of the trade deadline, the trade value. You know, you know, as we have talked about, somebody there knows something about pitching, and they have—they really were getting some good outings from him. And I did think that he might be a guy that you would move at the deadline, which, again, I'm not, it's an awful way to look at a team anytime anyone doesn't. Oh, could you trade him? But I think that I also was thinking about a conversation we had with Bruce Levine last week where, you know, I was telling him that I had been watching, I think, one of the Friday games. They have really good access on Fridays on the Chicago Sports Network. They do like a special edition, and they had Josh Barfield, the assistant general manager, in the booth talking to the guys. And Stoney asked if they had, and this is before they even got rid of Clevenger, he asked him if they had a reliever in the minor leagues that they felt could eventually be a closer. And I was just surprised to hear him talk about Grant Taylor in that fashion, that they've had internal conversations that eventually could be where he lands.
Oh, I wondered about that, yeah.
And Bruce made a really interesting point where he talked about traditionally how the White Sox, and anybody who's watched the White Sox for a lot of years, traditionally they would bring up a guy like Mark Burley as a bullpen arm who eventually then becomes a starter. Chris Sale started it as a bullpen arm who became a starter.
Crochet
is another great example of the exact same thing. And it made me wonder about all these guys. If there are pitching limits going on, could they fire those bullets at the big league level?
Well,
when you look at how bad their bullpen has been,
that's the point of the exercise, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Get them up here to try to help.
You could get them up here. You could develop a pretty impressive bullpen. You could get a lot of innings out of these guys. You could build their arms up differently than just stretching them out and having them start X number of games.
I agree. It's how you look at them.
People don't do that anymore in baseball. They don't. But it really made me think about that because I don't know that the White Sox have a lot of guys that have had Tommy John surgery, as we talked about, like six players.
Yep.
I don't know how many arms they have. If you start running out of starters, how many guys are you going to bring up? Is it going to be kind of mix the group together?
I see.
And it made me wonder if that would be like, I want someone to shoot that down and tell me that can't happen. Maybe the next time we talk to Stoney, but it made me contemplate that idea.
If you view them as outgetters, you won't worry about that problem as much.
Exactly.
That's another really good question.
The White Sox, 0-79 the last year when trailing after six innings, 0-12 this year until the 22-year-old catcher Edgar Cuero came on as a pinch hitter and hit a two-run single. Shouldn't he play every game? Nevertheless, how wild is it that the last Sox player to drive in his first two MLB RBI in the seventh inning or later was GM Chris Getz, according to MLB Pipeline.
That is just a weird...
Wow.
Isn't that a strange coincidence?
Where'd that come
coincidence?
From?
It was super weird. I like what Edgar Cuero's doing. I think it's great that they brought him up. I felt, and we discussed it last week, David, that they wanted to bring Teal up ahead of Cuero and that they kind of got out of sync because Cuero was hitting so well. But what I love about the kid is you hear him interviewed again after the game, and he speaks really good English. And apparently, that's because he's been taking these crash courses to learn English. He feels in order to be the catcher, to do that role, he must be able to communicate with his pitchers. So he's gone out of his way to improve in that area. You see something like that happen?
He
just turned 22. He turned 22 like 2 weeks ago. He's barely 22. I know it shouldn't matter, but when you think about it, he's basically on the long end of 21. I mean, the guy, it's extraordinary how quickly this has happened for him and what he's doing. And I just love the idea that he came into a big moment and delivered and that they had a comeback victory, which you do not see from this team. And he looks like a promising player.
Did you just put him ahead of Kyle Teal in your Mully power rankings?
I'm just saying, I think they thought Keel was the better catcher and that Teal was going to be the guy that was the better hitter. And then when they opted not to make the club,
we're
going
to have to revisit
him,
this later. I want to know the Mully prospect power rankings.
It depends on whether or not they'll use these all these pitchers as relievers.
Exactly. All these are related.
I just want to know, like, who keeps track of this stuff? Like, how does one, like, connect those dots, that all happened when it happened. I find that fascinating to me. It's very, very ironic, right?
I want to see as much of Edgar Carroll as we can now. There's not much to lose. I know you can't play him every day. You don't want to expose him. And once pitchers catch up, obviously we have seen this movie play out before. But the Sox have so much catching depth in their organization that if he's off to a good start, you ride this as long as you can. The most impressive Edgar Carroll highlight to me wasn't necessarily the hits that made this kind of odd sort of trivia necessary or worth pointing out, because don't we all remember Chris Getz's first couple major league RBIs? Yes. There wasn't quite the buzz created around Chris Getz as there might have been around Edgar Carroll, but I love the way that he threw out the base runner. I forget who it was trying to steal, but he just stood up and fired, and it was a great throw. It was a quick release, and it was over. I think it was on Saturday. And so you like that defense behind the plate. You like the Sox's commitment to being strong up the middle, and Edgar Carroll could be here to stay.
And with that, I'll take your questions.
How big of a deal was it that the Bulls fired shooting coach Peter Patton, a popular assistant among players, many of whom credited him with their improvement from the field? Sign of a deeper problem or minor staff move?
I don't believe it's something you can just shrug off because of the attention that was paid and the credit that was given to a shooting coach that made a team better shooters. More than one player mentioned Peter Patton. His name came up a lot, it seemed, for a assistant coach with a very specific role and a very specific job. He's the shooting coach. You have a team that was committed to three-point shooting that didn't necessarily have a roster full of three-point shooters. That guy mattered. That guy's gone. And I do think that when you look at what happened last week and the way it was explained and the lack of clarity that exists, this is not something to just dismiss as a staff change that has no meaning or significance, because it does suggest there's some communication issues. It does suggest that there are some things that might not be as harmonious as you would want them to be behind the scenes. The Bulls are really frustrating, and they are at the point in their growth where it requires some very candid conversation and observation and evaluation that I don't know that they're capable of doing or committing to. And that is a bigger problem than losing your shooting coach. But losing your shooting coach in this manner suggests that there's things beneath the surface that need addressed.
Yeah, this is one that's kind of, unless you're really inside the Bulls, I don't know what the exact answer or reasoning is. Reading up on it a little bit, it sounds like there's some guys in the developmental staff department that might be headed for other jobs, so perhaps they like those guys more than they like Patton, and they wanted to give them a bump up in order to secure their future with the team. But now you want to see if any of the players go to social media and have thoughts. Kobe White, right, is a big proponent of his, and his obviously shooting has improved quite a bit. So
How about Giddy? Josh Giddy.
I'm sure he's not Giddy over this move.
Giddy up.
I was totally confused by this. It was one of these things that, you know, you read everything and you follow everything, and then you see something like this and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, what's that about? Wasn't that guy doing a really good job? Didn't they really like the way their shooting had improved and they had promoted him? And then you just don't know the inner workings. And it makes you want to call somebody and, hey, what the hell was that about? And there, I haven't read a lot of explanation. You just don't know. It's a weird one, because you thought that he was getting a lot of of kind of feedback, positive feedback, and then you find out that maybe that wasn't the case from the organization. And then you think, are the players and the organization on the same page? And we don't know if they are or aren't. We haven't heard from anyone yet. But it's a strange one. It was just a guy whose job was, he was like their shot doctor, and their shooting improved. So you just kind of conclude that he had done a good job. But, you know, you don't base that on anything. I haven't
results
heard,
is what you base it on.
Yeah, but I haven't heard, like, yeah. I haven't heard, like, the coaches or the administration come out and say, oh, this guy has been the different. Like, I haven't heard that.
Right. I think that's that is an interesting observation. I also think that when you do talk to some people surrounding it, he does have a reputation for being very competent and also for being very candid.
Yes.
And sometimes one can get in the way of the other.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone needs your candor.
Right.
Sadly.
Sometimes, yeah, the truth does hurt. And I wonder what role that played in this decision. But it's just, as you say, you don't hear publicly Billy Donovan or AK talk much about
no,
Peter Patton,
no.
But you do hear from players.
So that makes you wonder.
It does make you wonder.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know, I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.